Let me tell you something about prayer that you need to know, that you need to know. A lot of people don't realize this about prayer, but they need to realize this because this will absolutely change your perspective on prayer. Prayer has a cumulative effect. Prayer has a cumulative effect. What do I mean by that? Prayer is kind of like diet and exercise. It's kind of like education, right? You can't go to the gym one day and expect to have a chiseled body the next day, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't care. Like every time I go to the gym, I come back and I'm like, you know, I just to check, you know, was that the day that it happened? But when it comes to going to the gym, dieting, those kind of things, even in education, it's about accumulating, right? It's about doing it and doing it some more and doing it some more. And then out of nowhere, it seems like, oh my gosh, results, right? But it happens over time. It doesn't happen always immediately. I know you've read your Bible and Jesus came and he healed people immediately. You've got to understand, he had 3 years worth of ministry here. He was only going to be around for 3 years, so he had to work immediately. And God sometimes chooses to work immediately. And when he does, we're like, praise God, it was immediate, it was right away, thank you, Jesus. But more often than not, you're going to find that God just kind of, he's never late, by the way, he's never late, but we're just always a little too early. And we need to realize that God is not like McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or Burger King, have it your way. That's not the way that God works. God doesn't take your order and we'll have it in the second window. Like, that's not the way God works. God is God, right? And we are not. So when we pray, we need to realize that prayer seems to add on and add on and add on. And it finally seems to reach this climax where finally the prayer is answered. That's just the reality. There is a parable in the Bible about a persistent widow. And this is a widow that was going to a judge, and she kept going back to this judge, and she said, give me justice. Give me justice. I want justice. And for whatever reason, this judge, he was evil, the Bible tells us. He didn't fear God. He didn't fear man. And for whatever reason, this judge would not answer. And he would not give her justice. Never. And she needed justice. He knew that it was the right thing, but he never gave her justice. You know, but finally, because she nagged him so much, the Bible says, finally, this evil judge gave her the justice. He says, she's nagging me so much that I have to. Like, I just want to get her off my back. Have you ever had that child that just keeps asking? No? No one? Okay, that's what I thought. We have children and they do this to us. They wear us down. How do you think I got my wife, right? I wore her down. You keep asking. You keep coming back. You keep coming back. This widow kept coming back. And next week, we're going to talk about perseverance in prayer. But what I want you to know for today regarding prayer is that prayer requires a continuity to it. In fact, if you think that you're starting to annoy God, that's when it's starting to work. Keep going. Some people will say, I don't want to pray anymore because I don't want to annoy God. I've already asked. He already knows. I want to tell you, God tells you to keep asking. To keep asking. When it comes to prayer, one of the things that Scripture tells us is that we should never cease in prayer. Now, last week, I did tell you that you want to find time when you close yourself in a prayer closet, you find a place and a place where you can have intimacy with God. And we talked about, you know, into me see. God, I want you to see into me. I want to see into you. You want intimacy with God. And we should definitely carve out time out of our schedules to say, God, this time is exclusively for you. Without any distractions, without anything else stopping us, but just me and you. And we talked about in the same way that two lovers will find a private place where they can be intimate with one another. We should seek to be intimate with God. We should seek to want that alone time with God. And we talked about, remember, finding that perfect hiding spot. And you, whenever you found that perfect hiding spot, you'd almost giggle to yourself a little bit. And you were so happy in there. And if somebody came with you, you'd giggle with that person. And there was an intimacy about that. God wants us to be intimate with him like that. And to find a prayer closet, a time where we can just separate and be alone with God. And if we don't do that now, we should start doing it. But along with that, the Bible also teaches us that we should pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God's will for you, God's will for me, is that we would continually pray. So some of you are really smart and you're already thinking, wait a minute, hold on. How does that make sense? You mean I'm supposed to lock myself in a closet, Pastor Rob, and I'm supposed to stay there like forever? I'm supposed to like without ceasing, like I'll just stay there? Pastor Rob, I'm going to kill myself there. That's not going to work. And here's the thing. Some of you might say, well, either I close myself in a closet or I'm praying all the time. And am I supposed to be praying while I'm driving my car? Like, does that work too? No. It's actually not an either or, but a both and. I close myself at times in a prayer closet and I take time to be with God alone. But at other times, I continually pray. In other words, that prayer doesn't stop at the closet, but it keeps on going. I come out of the closet with my prayer. And it doesn't just stay there, but I'm constantly talking to God. I'm developing a relationship with God. I'm nurturing a relationship with God. And by the way, did you know that prayer is two-way? That it's not just a one-way thing. It's not just you sit there and you tell God everything you want, and then when you're done, like you go ahead about your day. No, when we pray, we allow God time to speak to us. And it's got to be a continual thing, a continual thing. It means that while you're doing the dishes, while you're doing the laundry, while you're headed to work, while you're doing whatever it is that you're doing, you are constantly in communion and in communication with God. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants with every one of us, that our prayers will not stop. And you might ask, well, how does that help me? Like, I'm glad that God wants me to do that, and that's all well and good, but how does that help? Well, I want to give you a couple of reasons of how that helps. The first way that it helps is that it helps you by developing your relationship with God. As you pray and as you talk to God, you develop a relationship with God. I have friends that have met their spouses on websites like Match.com, eHarmony.com, and I'll be honest with you, they have some of the happiest marriages that I know, like people that are really getting along, and they met online. Don't do Craigslist. That's not a great option. But eHarmony, not to, you know, give them free advertisement or Match.com, they seem to do a really good job at finding what you're all about and finding out what other people are about. So people, they enter, I've never been on the site, but this is what I'm told, okay? Just so you know, just so you know. But what I'm told is that there's a description there, there's a biography there, there's some information about the person there, and a picture, which is helpful when finding a mate. But they have a picture, a little biography, and my friends tell me that they'll scroll through the pictures and scroll through the bios, and they'll find people that are similar to them. Right? But in their bio, they learn a couple of things about them. And that's good. That's really good. Now, the one thing that you should never do if you're on one of these sites is just click the buy now button right away and get married based on just the bio, right? Just on the description. That would be a foolish decision. What do you have to do if you really want to get to know somebody? You got to ask them on a date or two. You got to sit down with them. You got to talk to them. You got to find out a little bit more about them. They need to find out a little bit more about you. They need to find out if what was on the bio is true to reality, right? And the way they find that is through a conversation. The same is true with us. When you read the Bible is good, and you should read it. And the Bible will tell you a lot of things, good things about God that you should want to know. But prayer is that second half. Prayer is like getting to know God one-on-one. I read the book. I see what the book says. A lot of great information about you, God. But I want to know you personally. And every good Christian, every solid believer will have a healthy relationship with God in their prayer life and in their study life. Their study life, they'll want to read the Word of God so that they can know how God has revealed Himself through the Word. But they'll also want to pray so that they get to know God, not just intellectually, but intimately, and know Him personally. Unfortunately, we live in a time where believers seem to go in opposite directions. You have the believer that says, no, I want to know God intellectually. I want to understand everything about God that I possibly can. And intellectually, they'll know scripture back and forth. They'll know how to read it. They'll know how to study it. And they can tell you just about anything, even things, even details and facts that maybe you don't even care about. They'll share them all with you. And high intelligence about God, but very little heart when it comes to the things of God. And then you have the other believer, high love for God. Oh my gosh, they worship like no one else worships. They have such a heart for God. They are so intimate with God in that way, but they don't know God intellectually, and I think that both are wrong. Both extremes are wrong. Every believer should know the Word of God, know God through His revealed Word. This is the way that God has chosen to reveal Himself to us. This is what God says about Himself. This is important. If it wasn't important, He wouldn't have preserved Scripture for so many years for us to have it today. But His Word is important. But just as important is our prayer life so that we get to know God. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, "Call to me," the Lord says, "call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." You know how you know God? You call to Him in prayer. You call to Him. I love what the Bible says about Moses in Exodus 33:11. It says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friends." Do you know that you could have a face-to-face conversation with God? That you can have an intimate conversation with God, but that only happens through continued prayer. Coming back to God, getting to know God. Jesus said this. He said that my sheep know me. My sheep know me. They know my voice. How are you? Do you know the voice of God? Has God spoken to you? Maybe you say, well, I never heard God. I've never heard God speak to me. Or somebody else says, well, I'm praying, but then midway through the prayer, I feel like I'm talking to myself. And I'm going to give you a little little light on those moments, because we've been there where we're praying and we're asking God questions and then we feel like we're talking to ourselves. Let me tell you how you can tell whether this is God or it is not God. If what you are telling yourself aligns with the Word of God, it's from God. If it does not align with the Word of God, it is not God speaking to you. Maybe you had a problem with someone at work, and then you're praying, Lord, look at so-and-so Bob. Lord, you saw the way he looked at me the other day, Lord. And Lord, I'm really struggling with him. And all of a sudden, you feel like God is saying, well, you need to go and punch him in the face as soon as you see him on Monday morning. That is not God. But if all of a sudden you're talking to yourself, or what you call talking to yourself, and you're saying, Lord, look at Bob, Lord, it's been really hard. And then all of a sudden you feel like you're saying, well, yeah, but be patient with him. You don't know what's going on in his life. You don't know what's happening. Maybe you need to continue to pray for him. That may be God. God will speak to us, and he will prompt us. Sometimes as you're talking to God, I believe that God will speak to you right there, and you know that this is God leading you in that direction. But how do you do that? How do you get there? You cultivate that relationship with God on a daily basis. Lord God, I am on my way to work. Just wanted to say good morning. Wanted to thank you for this day. Wanted to thank you for my job. And yes, Lord, I even want to thank you for Bob. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good, the bad, the ugly, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness. And you want to be talking to God. Continued prayer will help you develop a relationship with God. The second thing that continual prayer will do for you is that it will help you stay in step with the will of God. It'll keep you focused on what God's will is for your life. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit of God, let us keep in step with the Spirit of God. The reality is that prayer has a way of just keeping us focused on what God's will is for our lives. You remember Jesus in Gethsemane, he was praying, right? And the Bible says that his sweat were like drops of blood. His tears were like drops of blood. He was so filled with anguish. In Gethsemane, just as about he's about to face the cross, he is crying and weeping, and he is in that moment with the Lord. And what does he say in prayer? He says, Father, if it is your will, pass this cup. But let it not be my will, but your will be done. You know, it's in prayer that you get to learn the will of God. It's through his word that you get to know what his will is. It's in prayer where you get to sense God and you say, Lord, is this your will to do? Is it your will for me to do this? And some of us have made mistakes, not because we didn't know what the will of God was, but rather because we knew the will of God and we still did what we thought we should do. But if you want to stay in step with God's will, you want to be continually praying to God. Continued prayer will also help us develop and cultivate an attitude of gratitude. See, it's when we pray that we realize that what we have is not ours, that what we have just comes by the grace of God. And by the way, I want to encourage you to add those few words into your vocabulary every time you speak. If you have the opportunity to talk about something you've accomplished, maybe something that you own, or maybe some achievement, let it always be accompanied for you and for the sake of others. Let it always be, whatever the accolade is, let it always be accompanied by you saying, I've been able to do X, Y, Z, by the grace of God. It's by his grace. And it's continual prayer that will keep us there with an attitude of gratitude that I cannot do anything without God. That only through God can I do anything. Only through God can I accomplish anything. And it is continued prayer that will keep us humble, that will keep us remembering that it is God and that it is because of his grace that we have what we have. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, again, it says that we give God thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God, that we thank him in every circumstance. And it's continued prayer that will keep us in an attitude of gratitude. Continued prayer will help us overcome the troubles of everyday life. Just like I shared a few moments ago, our friend Darcy had a beautiful week, comes back, ends up in a hospital. Life happens, doesn't it? The troubles of everyday life just happen. They don't ask our permission. They don't give us a date when they're coming, right? Life just seems to happen sometimes when we seem to expect it the least. And it is continued prayer that can help us in those moments. That can help us acknowledge that, God, maybe this is not what you wanted from me, but obviously this is what's come to me, Lord. And I am going to continually pray. I'm going to be in this moment, God, and I'm going to trust you. Psalm 50 verse 15 says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. God wants you to know that, hey, in the day of trouble, just call my name and I'll be there. There's no one that will be there more than God in your life. And it is continued prayer that prepares us for those moments. It is continued prayer that gets us ready, that gets our hearts steady, knowing his will. Matthew 6:34, this is what Jesus says. He says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day and its own trouble. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Today, you have enough trouble for today. Just keep that in mind. Don't freak out about tomorrow because you got enough trouble to worry about today. And God tells us, don't be anxious about it. Don't be anxious about it. See, that's one of the things, that's one of the beauties of prayer, that even in those moments of anxiety, you can call on God. In those moments of fear, you can call on God. Like, God, how I need your help in this moment. Here's the problem with many of us. Not us here, but us, like, in general. Here's the problem with a lot of people. It's that prayer only happens when they have a need for something. They haven't been cultivating a relationship with God, and for that reason, now they have a need, and in that need, who else are they going to call? God, if you're listening, if you're up there. They don't even know if God is listening. They don't even know if God is up there. Lord, I'll do whatever it takes, God, if you're listening. See, that's not the way that God intends for our lives to be. God intends for the believer's life to have a continued prayer, never ceasing in prayer, that God is always there, that when something happens to us, we are in that moment, we're like, God, I'm so glad you were there. Prayer can help us with anxiety. It really can. It can free us from anxiety. It can make sure that we are at a place. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we spoke about that, let your requests be made known to God. When you're anxious, that's a perfect time to pray. But it's not the only time to pray. There needs to be a continual conversation between us and God. A continued conversation so that when anxiety shows up, we make sure that we are at a place where, God, I'm at peace because I know that you are with me. You know, anxiety comes in a moment. Anguish comes in a moment sometimes. And we need to realize that God is always with us. About Jesus, Luke 22 says that when he was in anguish, and in his anguish, the Bible says, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. Again, he's in Gethsemane. He's in anguish. It's the difficult time. But there's still that beautiful communication between him and the Father. Between Jesus and the Father. Where's your communication with God? Are you talking to God on a continual basis? Is God part of not just your Sunday life? Sunday is great. But is God part of your everyday life? I mean, if you don't have a preacher in front of you, is God still there? When you're in those moments where it's difficult, listen, I've worked in a secular environment myself, and I know, even in Christian environments, if I'm honest, sometimes you need to go and make that bathroom your prayer closet, and you're like, okay, God, what is up with Sharon? Like, right? Nobody's here named Sharon, right? Okay, just making sure. But sometimes you get to those moments when you just need to pray, you need to talk to God. God wants to be there always, always, always. Jesus, in anguish, he prayed all the more. And you know, the reality is that God can take maybe a moment where you feel anxious, and he can turn that into a moment of joy. If you're praying and you're prayed up, man, God can show you that he will give you the victory. I love what the Bible says about Jesus. When Jesus was looking at the cross, it said that, the Bible says that, that we should be like Jesus. It says that, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know, I wonder if in prayer sometimes God can tell us, listen, this is going to be a difficult moment in your life. This is going to be hard in your life, but you can be rest assured, and because you know that God is with you, that can become a moment of joy in your life. Not a moment because the what's happening, not a moment of joy because of what's happening, but rather a moment of joy because of what you see is coming after that difficult moment. Jesus, looking at the cross, he saw it and he looked at it with joy. He endured the cross with joy because there was a joy set before him. There was something that was coming after that moment of anguish. Continued prayer is what would help us there. And finally, continued prayer will help us overcome temptation. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. I know sin for the moment seems right and it seems good, it seems pleasurable. But we all know that sin leads to death. We know that it leads to chaos. And in prayer, we could be watching and praying and saying, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Lord. If we love God, that should be a very serious prayer. Like if we love God, we should say, Lord, I don't want to do anything to hurt you. Lord, I don't want to do anything to offend you. I know that you can forgive me. And I know that you love me. And I know that nothing that I do would ever separate me from the love of God. But Lord, man, I really just don't want to hurt you. We don't want to hurt the people we love. And that ought to be a very serious prayer for us, that Lord, lead me not into temptation, Lord. Because Lord, if I am led into temptation, and if I sin, and if I fail, God, Lord, only you know the ramifications of that. Only you know how difficult that can be, not just on me, but potentially even on others, God. But it is, again, continued prayer. When we're coming back to God, coming back to God and saying, Lord, would you help me, Lord? In this, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Next week, we're going to talk more about perseverance and the benefits that come from persevering in prayer. One thing you should know is that if you're praying for something, keep praying for it. Have you ever heard the acrostic push? Pray until something happens. You keep praying. And if you feel like, Pastor Rob, but I've been praying, I don't know, it's been 37 years, Lord, and the Lord has not answered that prayer. I feel like I'm annoying God. You're getting there. You're getting even closer. You're getting to that point. And here's the thing. God doesn't answer, and there might be a plethora of reasons why God isn't answering the prayer, maybe even the way we want God to answer the prayer. But the truth is that God, in all his wisdom, he will always answer. And in his love for you, God doesn't want to disappoint you. God loves you. And God doesn't want to let you down. We know that he's much wiser than we are, so his answer is always perfect. But his timing, it's not that he's late, although to us sometimes it seems like he's late. And I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know what that thing is that you've been praying about. But I want to challenge you today to keep praying. Keep praying. I'm going to tell you, I am a witness that God answers prayer. I've seen God answer prayers. And every prayer God has answered hasn't always been in the moment. I didn't just pray, Lord, you know, help this situation, and bam, it happened. It didn't happen that way. It's never happened that way for me, at least, that I can remember. But I can tell you, I have seen a cumulative effect in prayer, that I've continued to pray, and I've piled on prayer on top of prayer, on top of prayer, on top of prayer, on top of prayer. Have you ever heard of Ricky Martin? Anybody here ever heard of Ricky Martin? Living la vida loca. Right, don't make me, because I will. No, I'm teasing. You probably heard of Ricky Martin. And maybe the first time you heard of him was at the Grammys. He did like this phenomenal show at the Grammys. And that's the day that Ricky Martin's name became mainstream in American culture. Well, here's the thing. For Puerto Ricans like me, we've known who Ricky Martin is for years. But it seemed like at the Grammys, all of a sudden, Ricky Martin, like, where did this guy come from? Everybody, all the American stations were like, where'd this guy come from? And we're like, Súbete a mi moto, menudo, like, hello, he was there. But nobody else knew about it. Until one day, it just seemed like it popped out and he came out of nowhere. I'm going to tell you, that's a lot like the way prayer works. Like, you could be praying in the shadows. You could be praying in the background. Nobody even knows you're praying. And bam, all of a sudden, it seems like God answered your prayers. And now you see God answer your prayer. And other people are saying, oh my gosh, God listens to you so quickly. You're like, no, God, it takes a while with me too. But I've been praying for year after year after year. I've been waiting on God, and finally God answered my prayers. We know a sister, a beloved sister in Christ, who, man, one of her teenagers was in our youth group, and she was a single mom, and she used to come to us. She was like, take my daughter, fix her. Like that's the way she pretty much just left her daughter. And she'd be stressing out all the time. Like, oh my gosh, my children, they don't love Jesus like I love Jesus. And oh, it's a big mess. And this is the way she always was. But she'd keep praying for them. In all honesty, she'd always keep praying for them. Recently, we got to be at her, not just with her daughter and her, but today, her daughter is serving the Lord, is married, has a beautiful family. God is doing amazing things in their lives, and it's just beautiful. But you would have thought years ago, oh, that daughter will never be saved. Oh, God really can't do it. I mean, don't get me wrong. She was in church, and she was in youth group, and she was all that stuff. But, whoo, like God needed to do a work. And let me tell you, God did a work. What I want you to know here today is that God is listening. What I want you to be encouraged by is that it's making a difference. I know no one has told you that you've lost that weight yet, right? I know people haven't mentioned that it looks like that prayer is coming, right? But let me tell you, God knows it's coming. And my encouragement to you is that you keep praying. And don't just pray for that thing, but you pray to cultivate a relationship with God. There's other things that God wants to talk to you about. Sometimes I've learned that it's not just about what God needs to change for me, but it's that God needs to change me. So my encouragement for you today is keep on keeping on. Keep praying. God is listening. God will answer. Keep praying. And use prayer to cultivate that relationship between you and God. So let me ask you, where is that relationship with God? Are you just coming back to God when you have a need, and then God answers that, and then you're gone, and you have this relationship where you only call on God when you need him? Or do you have that relationship with God where God is always a part of your life? Like, he's never not there. I don't know about you, but I have worship every day, all day. Like, if anything, I come here and it's just an overflow of what's already happening in my life all week. And that's what I want for you too. That's the way it should be for every believer, that we're constantly worshiping. We should come in here and be ready to worship God out of the overflow of what God has already been doing in our lives. Where are you with God? How is that intimacy between you and God? Are you closing yourselves in that prayer closet, and are you continually praying? God wants to know even the little things in your life. Those little things matter to God. Talk to God about them. Lord, should I wear this or this? Like, talk to God about that. Lord, you know, like, talk to God about it. If you care about it, He cares about it. I love what the Bible says, and I'll wrap up with this. I love it when the Bible tells us to cast our cares upon the Lord because He cares for us. Love it. I remember one time being in my office, and that verse just come to mind. I'm like, wait, you want my cares? Are you sure? Because I got a lot of cares. You want my cares? I said, you could have them. And you know what I felt God telling me in that moment? Great. Because now I can care for you. You know, you can do self-care. That's wonderful. But man, nothing beats God care. Nothing beats God caring for you. And continued prayer, it's what's going to cultivate that relationship so that you can continue to do what God has called you to do and be at the place where God wants you to be. Amen? Let's pray.